Good morning, everyone. Good to be here again. Thank you, Mose, for opening up. And this morning, I'd like to share a little bit on forgiveness. I'm not picking on anyone here. I feel like something that I've been learning in my life, and I'm just like y'all to listen if you want. Forgiveness is something that I feel was very close to God's heart. He forgave. When he walked on this earth, he was always forgiven. This is something I feel, don't feel necessarily qualified. I've had to be forgiven more than anybody here probably. This is nothing new. I know we've heard this before. But it is something I feel that if you turn in your Bibles to Mark 11:6, Mark 11:26, I'm sorry. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. So I just feel like this is something we should keep close to our hearts, because if we don't forgive, we won't receive forgiveness. I will never know how many times someone here forgave me for something I did, and I want to thank you all for that. In fact, I know there are people here that have had to forgive me for wrongdoing. And I just want to thank you for that very much. I'd like to start by looking at unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is classified in medical books as a disease. According to Dr. Stephen Stanford, chief of surgery at the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, refusing to forgive makes people sick and keeps them that way. With that in mind, forgiveness therapy is now being used to help treat diseases such as cancer. It is important to treat emotional wounds or disorders because they can really hinder someone's reactions to treatments, even someone's willingness to pursue treatment, Stanford explained. Of all cancer patients, 61% have forgiveness issues, and of those, more than half are severe, according to the research by Dr. Michael Berry. Harboring these negative emotions, this anger and hatred, creates a static of chronic anxiety, he said. Chronic anxiety very predictably produces excess adrenaline and cortisol, which deplete the production of natural killer cells, which is your body's foot soldier to fight against cancer, he explained. Barry said the first step is learning to forgive, and learning to forgive is to realize how much we have been forgiven by God. When a person forgives from the heart, which is the gold standard we see in Matthew 18. Forgiveness from the heart, we find that they are able to find a sense of peacefulness. Quite often, our patients refer to that as a feeling of lightness, he said. Barry said most people don't realize what a burden anger and hatred were until they let them go. The Thayer definition for forgiveness is release from bondage or imprisonment. Forgiveness or pardon of sins, letting them go as if they had never been committed, remission of the penalty. Jesus Christ is our primary example. Once in this forgiveness. He died on the cross so we can all be forgiven. If you want, turn with me to Matthew 18:21. We'll read this. It's a little. We'll go to verse 35. 18:21. Then came Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon once, was brought unto them, which owed unto him which owed him 10,000 talents, for as much as he had not to pay. His Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, all that he had, and payment be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went out and cast him into prison till he should pay his debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise my heavenly Father will do unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. So I did a little work on the 100 pence, which is 100 denarii, which was roughly a third of a year's income back then. And then 10,000 talents is 6,000 denarii, and it takes roughly 20 years back then to make one talent. So it would have took 200,000 years to repay 10,000 talents. It would be practically impossible. In our day, 10,000 talents figures up to $7 billion, which if you had $7 billion available to repay a debt, you would be the 200th richest person in the world. So we see that God forgives a lot. Psalms 32:1 says, Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to his riches. We all have heard the term, it's easier to ask forgiveness than permission. I'm sure I've done that some of my life. I just want to encourage us all here that God has given us a power tool and powerful tool, and let's not use it in the wrong way. I got a story here, a couple stories. Not long before she died in 1988, in a moment of surprising candor in television, Mar Lasky, one of our best-known secular humanists and novelists, said, What I envy most about you Christians is your forgiveness. I have nobody to forgive me. Colossians 1:14, In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. After the Civil War, Robert E. Lee visited a Kentucky lady who took him to the remains of a grand old tree in front of her house. There she bitterly cried that its limbs and trunk had been destroyed by federal artillery fire. She looked at Lee for a word condemning the North, or at least sympathizing with her loss. After a brief silence, Lee said, Cut it down, my dear madam, and forget it. It's better to forgive the injustices of the past than to allow them to remain. Let bitterness take root and poison the rest of your life. Matthew 26:28. for this. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Got a few more stories that I found kind of interesting. I don't want to bore you all with stories, but when the first missionaries came to Alberta, Canada, they were savagely opposed by a young chief of the Cree Indians named Maskatoon, but he responded to the gospel and accepted Christ. Shortly afterward, a member of the Blackfoot tribe killed his father. Maskatoon rode into the village where the murderer had lived and demanded that he be brought before him. Confronting the guilty man, he said, "You have killed my father, so now you must be my father. You shall ride my best horse and wear my best clothes." In utter amazement and remorse, his enemy exclaimed, "My son, now you have killed me." He meant, of course, that the hate of his own heart had been completely erased by forgiveness and kindness of the Indian chief. Sometimes we ask forgiveness and we still struggle to forgive. We have to make a conscious choice to forgive. Here's a story that kind of demonstrates that. A forgiving God in an unforgiving world. Ron Lee Davis tells the story of a priest in the Philippines, a much-loved man of God who carried the burden of a secret sin he had committed many years before. He had repented but still had no peace, no sense of God's forgiveness. In his parish was a woman who deeply loved God and who claimed to have visions in which she spoke with Christ and he with her. The priest, however, was skeptical. To test her, he said, "The next time you speak with Christ, I want you to ask him what sin your priest committed while he was in seminary." The woman agreed. A few days later, the priest asked, "Well, did Christ visit you in your dreams?" "Yes, he did," she replied. "And did you ask him what sin I committed?" "Yes." "What did he say?" "He said, I don't remember." What God forgives, he forgets. I'm not going to do this subject justice by no means this morning, but it's been something. I've got one more story that's... First, let's... Ephesians 1:7. "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." This story is a true example of forgiveness. Thomas A. Edison was working on a crazy contraption called a light bulb. It took a whole team of men 24 straight hours just to put one together. The story goes that when Edison was finished with one light bulb, he gave it to a young boy helper who nervously carried it upstairs. Step by step, he cautiously watched his hands, obviously frightened of dropping such a priceless piece of work. You've probably guessed what happened by now. The poor young fellow dropped the bulb at the top of the stairs. It took the entire team of men 24 more hours to make another bulb. Finally tired and ready for a break, Edison was ready to have his bulb carried upstairs. He gave it to the same young boy who dropped the first one. That's true forgiveness. To share with you, but I know we've all heard this before, and I just wanted to share a little reminder with us this morning and help us to keep it before our eyes, because I feel it's important. So God bless you all. Thanks for listening.